from Syria to neighbouring Iraq, and our final report on that nation 10 years from after the US-led invasion. Today we hear from two Australians with differing views, Iraqi-Australian Riyad Al-Mahidi, who supported the Coalition of the Willing, and Donna Mulhern, who didn't. She's been to Iraq 5 times, first as a peace activist and human shield, you'll remember, and then later as an aid worker. Just back from Baghdad, she's speaking with James Carlton about what she saw.
Unfortunately, what I saw was a great deal of sadness, a great deal of suffering, 3 to 4 hours of electricity each day, in addition to political violence wreaking havoc, deaths at around 300 to 400 per month today. This is more than the war in Afghanistan, and this is causing a great deal of poverty in Iraq that I have never seen before. I saw poverty and slums similar to what you would see in India. Iraq was never a third world country. It had a sophisticated health system and education system, clean water and good infrastructure. This is before the sanctions.
What do you think Iraq would be like today if this war never happened?
Well, I have a little hunch that the Arab Spring may have actually begun in Iraq. We know that Saddam was kind of on a very loose footing towards the end of 2003, and the Iraqi people are very strong and determined, very clever. If they had not begun the Arab Spring, they certainly would have caught on. So who knows? Saddam may have been deposed peacefully, perhaps some political violence, we don't know. But what we do know is that if this war had not happened, then we would still have Iraq as a multi-ethnic, multi-religious place, which it was, which it no longer is. Mandaean minorities, the Christian minorities, the Yazidis and the Shabaks, are persecuted now to the point of almost extinction. We would have a place where women would still have legal protections under the constitution, which they no longer have. We would have a country where Al-Qaeda would not roam. Before 2003, Al-Qaeda had never had a foothold. There was only one source of violence, and that was Saddam. But Iraqi people say, we used to have one Saddam. Now we have hundreds of Saddams.
Donna Mulhern, another Australian with firm views, is the internationally respected Professor of Engineering, Professor Riyad Al-Mahidi. A few years ago, he strengthened Melbourne's Westgate Bridge with carbon fibre composite, making it the biggest of its kind in the world. And he goes back to Iraq every 6 weeks to teach, to advise, to volunteer, and to visit his family. He says, in spite of all the tears and suffering, Saddam had to go.
The removal of the regime was necessary for the simple reason that that regime was committing genocide against the Iraqi people.
And yet genocide wouldn't be too strong a word for Mandaeans or other minorities post the invasion.
Absolutely. But this is not just for the minorities in Iraq. Everyone has been sharing a burden of this sectarian onslaught, the Shiites, the Sunnis, the Christians. Look, I lost 2 brothers to the regime of Saddam Hussein, and I lost very dear family members in 2003. I don't think that there is an Iraqi who has not been touched one way or another. And for that reason, you don't see a clear indication from the Iraqi people whether they are for or against. It's always yes, but.
Professor Riyad Al-Mahidi. Well, peace activist Donna Mulhern says when she walks through Baghdad, she doesn't hear, yes, I support the war, but with reservations. She hears no. It was a mistake in every respect.
I just think about 2 to 3 million Iraqis. Their view of the new Iraq is so terrible that they have chosen, instead of living in the new Iraq, they have voted with their feet to live in squalor and in poverty as refugees in neighbouring countries such as Syria and Jordan. And then we also have the issue of internally displaced peoples, which also numbers to the degree of 2 to 3 million. John Howard and Jim Molan and Tony Blair would love to say, well, at least now we have a democracy. When you use the word democracy in Iraq today, the response is generally bewilderment or a large belly laugh. They don't have a free press. They don't have freedom of speech. This is the new Iraq. Welcome to the new Iraq, a failed state. It's a violent state. It's a place where each political party has its own army. And Iraqis throw their hands in the air and say, well, when you look at the ledger, many of them say, well, life was easier before. At least we knew where we stood under a brutal dictator. It's terrible to hear them talk like that. It's heartbreaking. But many of them do. And that's a terrible indictment on the philosophy of US imperialism and Western intervention into countries that they know nothing about.
Donna Mulhern. Riyad al-Mahdi knows the future is uncertain in Iraq, but he firmly believes the future is bright.
I do. When we go there and engage with the young, keep in mind 50% of the population is below 21, so it's a very young nation. So education and, you know, secondary education, primary education, higher education, and finally we are seeing that the government is putting a lot of resources in the education sector. And that's where the future of the country lies. And every time I go there, I mean, you know, the universities there are in full swing.
Running water and electricity?
Running water is no problem. Electricity is a problem. But that's being built up in the coming 2 years. A huge increase in supply is going to occur.
You don't have any reserve of anger for the Americans?
Look, of course, the war and the chaos that has occurred, the Americans, the way they have killed and mismanaged many innocent people, of course, that makes one angry. But don't forget that Iraq is a rich country. Iraq sits on the third highest oil reserve in the world. And given that fact and the human resources available, I believe Iraq would be different in 10 years' time.
That's Iraqi-Australian Riyad al-Mahdi. Before him, Donald Mulhern speaking with James Carlton. And in other news affecting this area, the US Secretary of State John Kerry is in Iraq at the moment, pressing the Iraqi Prime Minister to stop Iranian flights over Iraq from carrying arms to Syria.